Vanessa Daniel is founder and executive director of Groundswell Fund, the largest funder of the U.S. reproductive justice movement. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Charlotte.
Tell us about the Groundswell Fund.
So Groundswell Fund is a public foundation. So that means we raise every dollar that we give out, and we make it easy for individual donors and foundations to get dollars to the grassroots. We're a little bit unique in the foundation world in who we are. Our entire program team is made up of women of color who come directly out of labor or community organizing. Our board is majority grassroots activists, and 90% of our grantees are led by women of color. All of the groups we support are using grassroots organizing to transform the policies and the systems that impact their communities. But we're also different in how we support the field, not only through grant making, and we'll move close to $7 million in grants this year, but also through capacity building support to help groups build grassroots power, particularly to be able to boost their skills around voter engagement and grassroots organizing. And then we also support the field through funder organizing. Philanthropy is a field that notoriously funds grassroots organizing, as well as people of color and LGBT people last and least. And so a lot of the work we do is to raise visibility of and support for this work in a wider audience of individual donors and foundations. So since about 2003, we've moved $32 million to the field. We've moved many foundations to double and triple their giving to women of color-led work. And so in a foundation landscape where this kind of support is rare, we're a bit unusual. We're also, as you mentioned, the largest funder of the U.S. reproductive justice movement. That's been our focus for the past 14 years. And the RJ movement, as we call it, was founded about 20 years ago by Black women and has become the largest force that's engaging women of color, low-income women, LGBT people, as grassroots activists and leaders on reproductive issues. So, you know, the hallmark of this movement has really been this diverse issue platform that not only stands with people around the right to abortion or contraception, but also things like the right to live and work in an environment that's free of toxins that might harm our reproductive health, the right to be free from systems of toxic policing or mass incarceration and deportation that really disrupt our right to parent, and the right to be free from gender-based violence and discrimination. And for the LGBT community, reproductive justice also includes the right to parent and form families on our own terms. That includes adoption and access to reproductive technologies, marriage. It includes also the right to access non-discriminatory health care, stopping the over-policing and incarcerating of transgender people in jails and detention centers, and addressing conditions of confinement. So we're really proud to have supported groups like the Sylvia Rivera Law Project that was instrumental in expanding New York Human Resource Administration's provision of care, non-discriminatory care to trans folks in New York, as well as many other groups that have supported victories for the LGBT community.
Tell us about your new National Liberation Fund.
So most of us, I think, at this moment in time can look at our own friends and our family, and we can see folks there that are politically active now who were never active before this past election. It's really incredible, and many people are taking action, and part of the action that folks are taking is opening our wallets to give generously. Part of the problem, though, is that almost all of this giving is going to large national organizations because people don't know how to find organizations at the grassroots. And while national groups are certainly deserving of funding, many of them are doing important work, they cannot protect our rights and freedoms on their own. We absolutely must fund organizations at the grassroots that can hold public officials accountable in their own backyards, in their own districts. And so the Liberation Fund will make it easy for donors to find and fund some of the strongest grassroots organizing efforts around the country. You know, in the era of Trump, as we are facing this two-headed monster of misogyny and white supremacy, Groundswell believes that women of color and trans people of color who have been battling that same monster for our very survival for hundreds of years in this country actually have something to teach America about how to fight in this moment. And we believe that it's often the people living at the sharpest crosshairs of oppression who see most clearly the path to freedom for everybody. And we can look at that even in this election. I mean, Black women in this country were 96% clear that the Trump Road was a dead end. There was no group that was clear. So we believe it's critical to really look at the folks who are seeing the most clearly and to give them the wheel. And that the fastest way to freedom for all of us is to fight for the freedom of the most marginalized. So if we fight and win freedom for cis white gay men, they might get free, and that's great, but the rest of us won't. But if we win freedom for black trans women, that is the fastest way for all of us to get free. That's the way that we lift all boats. So the Liberation Fund is centering women of color and trans people of color-led work, and it's centering grassroots organizing. And that together, in our opinion, is about the physics of social change. So saying that Groundswell, as a funder who's traditionally supported reproductive justice, is saying that we're going to protect reproductive justice by only funding reproductive justice-identified organizations is a little like saying we're going to protect our house from a hurricane by turning up the thermostat. At some point, we have to deal with the political weather storm that we're in. And Groundswell believes that the only way you can change the weather is through grassroots organizing that builds solidarity across issues and across communities. And the strongest organizing that does that, it doesn't exist in any one sector. We have to fund it where it exists, whether that's in environmental justice, LGBT rights, immigrant rights, reproductive justice. We have to fund it wherever it is. Much of the progressive movement has been stuck in issue silos and racial silos. And what's really unique about women of color and trans people of color is that we have been working in a multi-issue way for decades because our lives depended on it. We never had the luxury of being single issue. We never had the luxury of working in isolation. So we have been working multi-issue and building strong alliances across issues and communities for years. So Groundswell really believes that this kind of leadership can shine the light on the path of solidarity that the larger progressive movement needs to win freedom for everyone. We plan to move about 500,000 this summer at minimum, with more to follow. And we're incredibly honored to be teaming with this phenomenal set of 15 leaders in this effort.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Well, I think ultimately for Groundswell, the end game is not any single policy win or, you know, systems change win. The win for us is if we can help build a vibrant grassroots base of support for social justice in this country that has the power to win and defend sweeping policy and systems change over time, change that can impact the material conditions of our communities for the long haul, and to create a world where we can live free from gender-based violence, from discrimination in our schools, workplaces, and in housing, where we can be free from mass incarceration and deportation, from environmental toxins and barriers to full and quality health care, including abortion care and gender-affirming health care.
What is your personal commitment to LGBTQ civil rights?
Well, I'm a queer woman of color. You know, my wife and I are proud mamas to a five-year-old daughter, and we're a part of a really vibrant queer community here in Oakland, California. So my commitment to LGBT rights stems from my desire to live in a world where my family and my own community can be free. So that's part of why I have built an organization at Groundswell that has a staff and board that strongly include LGBT people and leadership in our mission statement.
How do you see our LGBTQ community moving forward in this Trump administration?
Well, I think the Trump administration, first and foremost, is seeking to divide and conquer our communities. And I think that the only response to that and the only effective response to fascism in any society is to drive towards solidarity. And it is to lock arms, particularly to protect the communities who are the most vulnerable from attack. So I believe that centering transgender people of color, LGBT people of color, is absolutely central to building the kind of movement that can resist what the Trump administration is throwing at us. I also believe that grassroots organizing is very critical for our communities. There is a limit to how much you can win with top-down strategies that focus on the Beltway, particularly given the hostility of the federal climate in this moment. We know that the ground for victory and for defending our rights is actually most fertile at the local and state level. There's also limits to how much you can win with aerial campaigns and media campaigns. At a certain point, there's no workaround to grassroots organizing strategies. And, you know, if somebody came here and talked to us right now and told us that we could have won, you know, advancements in civil rights in the Jim Crow South without civil disobedience, or LGBT rights could have been sparked without Stonewall, or the labor movement could have won the weekend without the strike, we would say they're delusional. And yet we've seen overemphasis, I think, on more elitist, top-down social change strategies in our movements, and there's a real importance of returning to the grassroots. Organizing is fundamentally when the people who are most impacted by injustice gain the skills and abilities to use collective action to confront and transform the policies and systems that impact their lives. And there's no time when this has been more critical in this country than now, when we're in one of the biggest fights for freedom in the history of this nation.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's administration?
I think my biggest piece of advice would be to reach out and connect to support systems. You know, the Trevor Project is a great resource in terms of a hotline that can provide support, but also connecting to local organizations, particularly those that blend, you know, an offering of emotional support, giving people access to community and some practical resources, including ways to access healthcare and housing, but also that help young people learn how to use their voice and their feet to organize, to make a better world. I think it's really important that young people are empowered to understand that they're not just victims, that they have the power to engage in social change and to make a better world. And so it's critically important, and one of the reasons that the Liberation Fund exists is to make sure that there are enough organizations that are there for our young people in their localities to be able to engage them in that type of work. I'd also like to shout out the Third Wave Fund, a close ally of ours, who really is a leader in this country in supporting youth-led LGBT work across the country and making these kinds of organizations accessible to young people.
How can people get information about Groundswell Fund?
You can check us out at www.groundswellfund.org.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, we're really excited this year to be launching a C4. A C4 organization, which will be separate from the 501c3 Groundswell Fund, will enable us to support organizations that are doing more political work, including running their members for office, endorsing candidates, and doing more aggressive grassroots lobbying to advance pro-LGBT and pro-social justice policies in cities and states across the country and to defend us against draconian ones. We also are very proud to be housing 2 capacity building programs that support the field to grow their grassroots power. The first is our integrated voter engagement program that's supporting a group of 15 organizations to engage voters. And in the space of just a few years since we started in 2012, the program has taken this set of organizations from making less than 1,000 voter contacts a year to making over 70,000 voter contacts this year and 15,000 pro-reproductive justice voter IDs. We think this is just critical capacity. If the majority of what we are trying to win for our communities requires the cooperation of elected officials, and we know that elected officials care about 2 things, money and votes, and we're never going to compete on money, it is critically important that we be able to engage voters and actually impact public opinion and public outcry when our public officials do the wrong thing. Our second program is the Grassroots Organizing Institute, which is supporting a set of organizations to boost their skills around knocking on doors, running and crafting smart campaigns in order to win change for our communities.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
Yes, Angela Davis. I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept. It means that each of us has
the ability to get in touch with our own power and the fire in our belly to create change in the world. And each of us can create a ripple effect. The more of us get together, the stronger that ripple effect is.